Hey, welcome to The Weekend. It's time for Group Chat, the place where everyone comes together to talk all things pop culture, whether it's music.
Yeah, Beyonce has 11 nominations.
I think that's aggressive.
including album of the year.
I am happy that she is getting some play.
Mm-hmm. Movies and TV.
In comedy, like, we had memes, we had GIFs, we had people being Rickrolled, we had That's What She Said, we had, you know, like, we had all that stuff. So I think it's also just
it's
where
like
we are in
part
time.
Part of the trend, yeah.
How do you know when to move on? How do you know when something's stale?
How long do we do Chuck Norris jokes for?
Or sports moments that have everyone talking.
If you're watching a television show and somebody's wearing a Bills jersey, like, they're going to notice that and zoom in on that Bills jersey and be like, I like this show, I like these characters. Somebody who doesn't really necessarily care about the Bills, or maybe they follow a different team, they're not going to see that, they're not going to have that same connection, because their perceptual ability is just, it's a different set of references.
Group Chat brings you all the pop culture action with sharp insight, fun debates, and a whole lot of laughter. Coming up right after this.
Hello and welcome to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, and today I'm welcoming Ashley Christina Ricci, actor and host of BTPM's Let's Go. That's Buffalo Toronto Public Media's Let's Go. Dr. Naila Ansari-Cotillo, professor at Buff State University, choreographer and performing artist, and Donnie Kutzbach, co-owner of Town Ballroom and Fun Time Presents. So today, this is like the all-star cast here. You know who these people are.
Today. Yeah, I'm so excited when I came in.
This is a little reunion. On today's group chat, we're exploring how creativity on stage and on screen and in music helps us process emotion and connect with others. We'll start with Buffalo's theater scene, where local productions offer real-time release, reflection, and community. Then we'll look at how pop culture mirrors our feelings and challenges and the ways film and music open conversations about mental health. Later, we'll dive into fan reactions to Taylor Swift's new album, unpacking debates about influence, writing credits, and parasocial connection. And as always, we'll swap stories about comfort shows and performances that help us escape or recharge. But first, what's happening in the group chats? Is there a pop culture tie-in? I know. Listen,
every day is something new.
And I know we are going to be talking about the productions that you all just were in and were involved in.
Yeah.
And I know Dreamgirls is probably...
I can't wait to talk about it.
Yes. I can't wait. But yeah, what's happening in the group chat?
Oh, group chat. We're on to our next show. So that's happening this weekend. So we are going strong. It's at Lincoln Center in New York City, passing the crown.
I was trying to make this work
awesome.
To be
yes.
able to go.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. We chat with Donnie afterwards too. So it's MC Light and Rhapsody, and it's all women orchestra band. I know we're trying to get here to Buffalo, so I was talking to Donnie afterwards. So we're Ansari Saxon. We're at the tour management, working with them to get it going, and we just helped them out in Denver, and
That's awesome.
my group chat went from crazy dream girls to crazy passing the crown logistics of everything.
Yeah. How about you, Christina?
So these days, I've really been kind of a lurker in my group chats. I'm busy, so I've not been responding. It's been a lot of like just the thumbs up emoji to what people are saying. I'm like, yes, I see what you're saying. I have to go back on stage. It's been great. we just finished Young Frankenstein this weekend.
Yes!
And that was awesome. Wow, what a whirlwind. But I was basically unreachable for that entire week because I was just in rehearsal or working on stuff at home. And now this week I've started my next project. So that's going to be Just String at the Cavanocchi Theater. So I'm really just lurking in those group chats. I owe somebody a Venmo. I'm so sorry, Rachel. I will get to you. I promise. It's just, I keep thumbs upping. Yeah. I'm like, yes, I remember that I owe you this, but I'm so sorry. Yes.
It's an understanding this time of year, I think.
Yeah.
How about you, Donnie?
Let's see. There's some interesting things going on in America right now, and that's been overarching a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But hitting closer to home immediately and in my heart, the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was a long day and long night Sunday at the tailgate and then in the stadium. Mm-hmm. But the chatter has not stopped on all of what went down on Sunday night.
And then you're looking ahead because you're going to travel for the next game potentially.
Yeah, I'm heading to Atlanta. So even though everyone's like, oh, I'm so glad we have a break, we don't have any home games, we can just kind of sit and relax and watch. I'm like, no, kid.
So you're not a true fan like Donnie.
I gotta figure out how I'm getting to Atlanta this weekend, which I'm going, but I'm not sure how yet.
I'm not surprised. But you already got the tickets, right? Your friend
got the
tickets.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you're getting there somehow. Yeah. Well,
Some way.
We'll figure it out.
Because we have, you know, two very prominent theater people in the room right now. And it is also World Mental Health Day. We were having conversations about how theater can be an escape for people, both mm-hmm. on the creative side and then also for viewers. So as far as local shows go, Dream Girls just wrapped, right?
Yes. Yep.
At Shays 710. And man, I saw it. I just was blown away.
Stunning.
All local talent.
Yes.
In that.
Yep. Oh, I got so many text messages from people are like, is this live? And I was like, yes.
Deja's just that good.
Yes.
Everyone's just really that good.
Like they are 1000% seeing live. And yes, it is better than the Broadway concert version with like Audra McDonald and Billy Porter.
No offense, Audra. I love you.
Love them, but it just, we tore it up.
Yeah.
Well, my gosh.
And there is a darker theme behind the story of Dreamgirls. Can you talk about that a little bit, Nayla? Just, you see the singing and you see the posters and you see mm-hmm. that part of it, but there is an underlying.
Yeah, there's so much of like the complexities of Black life in the entertainment industry, particularly Motown. And so you kind of see the glitz and glamour, but you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. So it's like the personal, but then it's also the business aspect of like how many people were getting taken advantage over that time. And then it's also you find these relationships that you didn't think that you would have with certain actors because you're like, I know that person. And even people that you think are bad, like Curtis, you know, is you know, he's rough around the edges, but he's also part of his environment and he's trying to make it any way he can in this world. And just to know these people off stage and to see how they delve into their characters was amazing because that's really who we all are. It's like we're all trying to tell these stories and the complexities of that. But Dreamgirls is really that. It's like seeing, you know, the big, you know, ways in which we see Black entertainment, but then also what really happens, you know, behind the scene. And it's a true musical in the sense like it doesn't stop. So telling the story was, you know, for me, it was like everyone was like, well, what is it about for you? And I was like, it's really the fast paced transitions of life and entertainment and just trying to manage everything when you're on the road and on tour and, you know, live a sane life and you get kicked out of groups, you're in groups.
Yeah.
You know, people think of Destiny's Child, you know, if you will. But
there were a lot of parallels drawn to that. Hearing people talk in the audience.
Oh, yeah. We had to tell the cast a few times. We had a dramaturg. Shout out to Dr. Nicole Morris Johnson. She, you know, we were like, I know some of y'all were not even don't know anything that happened in the 50s and 60s mm-hmm. and 70s. But these are real people. So we had to really connect them and give them some of that historical, you know, context of who these folks were. So it's like, yes, you had Beyonce, you had this, but you also had Diana Ross and the Supremes. And how did they get to Diana Ross and the Supremes when they were just the Supremes and all of that? And like Berry Gordy, you know, who are all these folks, you know, mm-hmm. that come onto the scene?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was an interesting dive for them, too, as actors to tell this other story. But it's still continuing today.
Yeah. And to have the emotions around it. And yes, it's still continuing mm-hmm. today. So you have to look at the history, but then you also have to look at it still happens.
And I'm telling, it's funny, it's like, and I'm telling you, you know, that's one of the main songs in the show. It's so deeply touches people, not because it's just the personal part of it, but you know that she's getting kicked out of this group. Yeah. And there's like this also relationship that's happened. That's happens on tour, it happens in the music industry. And so, you know, it's just you lose your livelihood in multiple ways. And I think that's why that song touches so many people, because everyone can kind of relate to like being, you know, kicked out of the group.
Yeah.
And, but you're not being honest because you're not vulnerable. Now, in terms of mental health, I think, you know, Deja, who plays like Effie in the show, that character in itself is just like a mental health roller coaster of like trying to figure out your place and setting in a world that is really corrupt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that relatability something that is one of the draws maybe to a story that like if you have people in the audience and they can't personally relate, but there's a story there that is relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help with making people understand the story? And is that also a release for the audience?
I always say like, I may not be a physician, but for an hour and a half to 2 hours, I'd let you forget about your problems. I think any mm-hmm. good theater show, any good artist does that. And I think that's healing in itself. Like it takes that stress off of anything that you can. Same with like you go to concerts, like music has a way theater has a way of bringing people into someone else's world where you can kind of conceptualize, like, maybe my life isn't that bad, right? Yeah. You know, or maybe my life is really that bad. Yeah. And then you try to focus and think in a different way. But I always think there's a healing in just letting you forget about your problems and diving into someone else's, you know, story in life.
Yeah. So, Donnie, you are on all sides of this, you know, you're in the music business, mm-hmm. but you're also a music fan.
Yeah. And make music sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
and read about music and live music. And,
seems like it.
So how do you keep that balance?
It's hard. You know, again, we're talking about the Dreamgirl story. There's always a common thread in things where you can start pulling on it and it's like, oh, that's mine too. Mm-hmm. In anything in life. But like in the arts, you could see how a story, how you can relate to it. And not necessarily from having done it the exact same way, but that's a real story. And there are so many layers to it. And it really does delve into the process of going from nothing to something and going from having to really struggle to then you have it, but then you can lose it. In terms of mental health, it is a roller coaster. On my side of it, I think sometimes like, okay, we're doing great. We've got all these shows coming up and we're sold out. And then you'll have a couple and you'll be like, you'll lose tens of thousands of dollars. And you're like, wow, that's hard. Yeah. So it really can be a roller coaster.
Right.
Just every single day, not knowing what you're going to be going through. And it takes a toll on your psyche and on your mental health.
Mm-hmm. So is that why you then have to go to musical performances to keep that balance
or
as
the
a
bills.
Fan?
Or the bills stress Donnie out. Right? Yeah.
But I also do find it therapeutic on both sides too. Like even sometimes when you see something and it's painful and it draws out the pain, but that's also like, it can be like going to therapy.
Yeah.
So you can see a performance and it'll make you, you know, when you start crying at something, that's good too.
Yeah. In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Group Chat. I'm Bentley, your host, and I'm joined by Ashley, Christina Ritchie, Dr. Naila Ansari-Cotillo, and Donnie Kutzbach. It is World Mental Health Day, but we are talking about that in the scope of pop culture and in particular theater, because we've had some great theater productions recently and continuing. And Christina, you were just in Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
Which also has a lot of layers in this topic.
Yes. That was great.
You're super fun. Explain your character.
So I was an ensemble member, which means in the way that Starring Buffalo does their shows, that means I was a ton of different people.
Right.
So I had to use different dialects and different, you know, physicalities. But I got to play Count Dracula, which was great. Never thought I would get that opportunity. I don't know if you can tell, I'm not really the Count Dracula type, but that was really fun. But we had to, it was kind of fast and loose, just learn your music and just hang on tight. Here we go.
And Frankenstein has had a little bit of a resurgence recently with the new movie and also Bride of Frankenstein with the Maggie Gyllenhaal show, that's a movie that's going to be coming out. Mm-hmm. And there have been discussions around who Frankenstein is and focusing maybe on him as more than a monster.
Sure.
And then, but you bring in the comedic part of that.
Yeah, this was definitely like the Mel Brooks version of that. So, but even still, there's still that point of the story of like, what is a monster? What makes a monster? Which I think is always interesting. Do you become the monster because you're so worried about a monster that hasn't done anything yet? Or just because they look different or something? You know, I think there's a lot of questions that you can kind of dig into. Mm-hmm. This was definitely the Mel Brooks version. So we were very much more like, bada bing, you know, it was a different vibe. definitely, it was a good week of a lot of laughter.
I mean, how does that comedy help? There's also a mental health aspect of comedy and maybe taking a darker story and making it comedic.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of power in theater or film or music in all different aspects. It just depends on what you need. So, you know, it's when the economy is really bad, they've found that a lot of horror films start to really be present in the media, and people like to forget their problems. So they'll go see some horror slasher film and somehow it's helping you cope with the real fears that you have. Kind of the same thing, you know, Donnie brought it up. We're in kind of a tough time. I think that's putting it lightly, but we're in a really tough time globally, but also within our own country. And I think just being able to sit down and laugh about something stupid for a few hours, be silly, be realistic and be true to yourself and your character, but still just being able to laugh, that can really help heal for a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't solve the world problems, but it definitely has a place in the midst of all of this. And I think it's also quite powerful to laugh in the face of everything going on. Yeah. So to be able to still find joy and still laugh and produce these shows and people show up and we laugh for 2 hours, even though there's kind of all of this impending doom happening.
Yeah.
There's a lot of power in that. Like, yeah, maybe we feel afraid, but for 2 hours, we didn't feel afraid. We weren't afraid of you. We were laughing, you know,
there's
something there.
Well, even, you know, as we were just talking, Naila was talking about Dreamgirls, you know, the characters were going through things, but then, you know, you hear their voices and the singing and it's just everything will become joyful for a minute.
Yes,
literally after they're going through this dark time and getting kicked out of a group. And then you hear the singing and you're just like, wait, where am I now?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I think there's something about music that does that. And I think, you know, even with Star in Buffalo, we have so much theater in Buffalo, but not necessarily all, you know, theater at a high level. Mm. And so I think to have those two shows back to back so that folks can really understand like the talent that we have here and the storytelling that we have here. And Starting Buffalo also brings in folks from Broadway, which is also amazing. Yeah. We have so many amazing stories that we can tell. And I think that we, you know, sometimes we forget that and we feel like we have to go elsewhere in order to get those stories or to hear and like have music at that, you know, that level.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go far. And I think, you know, both of our shows definitely showed.
Oh, definitely.
That.
Yeah. You know, it was funny. I got tickets for Dreamgirls just based on the date I could do it, not realizing it was curtain up.
Oh,
and then I was like,
wore out. Okay.
Okay. I was just like, wait. Well, first of all, I was like, do I have to dress up? But but I loved walking out of the theater and seeing everybody downtown.
Yes,
you know? And that week was great because there were so many things going on downtown and it just felt like this is what we can be, you know? And I was like, I mean, that's why the arts are so important in music and putting on events. Like, Donnie, even if you have a show, like, even if you do a couple shows that are sold out and you get one that's not, but just like, it is so important to the vitality of a city to have these things going on because, you know, those people are eating at restaurants. Mm-hmm. They're around people maybe they don't see all of the time and they're just experiencing art together. And it's just, it's beautiful to see. I think we need to do more of that.
Yeah. Arts and culture, I mean, they really bring the spirit of the city.
Yeah.
Besides the fact, also economically.
Right.
Brings a ton into, you know, financially into the city as well, which is always kind of wild to me when it's one of the first things people want to cut. You don't have that vitality without having an art scene.
Right.
You go into any city, when people think about New York City or they go to Chicago or LA, like it's the arts are the first thing that they point to. And I think with Buffalo, we're getting there. We have more to do, but, you know, it costs money. Like we need funds to, you know, produce a lot of these things, particularly on the scale in which, you know, we were able to do some of the things that we do here. We need more of that. And I think that brings us joy in these really difficult times on top of like fighting against a lot of things that are pushing against what we kind of know bring us together, you know, in terms of just humanity.
Yeah. Well, we're going to continue this conversation because it's an important one. We're talking about the arts and mental health and also in achieving joy and in the creative process. Coming up, more of that on Group Chat on BTPM NPR. Thanks for checking out Group Chat, our new pop culture show on WBFO that talks about what you're talking about each week. Music, movies, food, technology, arts, culture, and more. And we want to know what's on your mind. Join the chat by dropping us an email at groupchat@wbfo.org. We welcome your questions, comments, and suggestions on what you want us to talk about. Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, and I'm joined by Ashlina. Ashlina.
Ooh, that's a fun name.
I like that.
Ashlina Christina Ritchie.
What's up?
Ashley Christina Ritchie, actor and host of BTPM's Let's Go. Dr. Naila Ansari-Cotillo, professor at Buffalo State University, choreographer and performing artist, and Donnie Kutzbach, co-owner of Town Ballroom and Fun Time Presents. So, yes, we've been talking about the amazing productions that have been happening in Buffalo, and we have two people that have been a part of them, both Dreamgirls and Young Frankenstein, and the importance of having an arts and culture scene, you know, even for the economy of a city, but I mean the well-being mm-hmm. of a city. Oh, yeah. You know, it is World Mental Health Day. We are not mental health experts, but we know.
Noted. Clocked it.
But, you know, for the consumer of art and, you know, going to shows and the viewer, obviously there's therapeutic aspects of that. But the creators, there's a whole other side to that, you know. And as we talk about theater, music is a big element of that, but also musical artists. And yes, we will be talking about Taylor Swift later, if that's what you're waiting for.
Thank God.
Swifties, we will be talking about that album. But there's been a lot of talk in the hip hop community around mental health. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's been an ongoing discussion, but I don't know if there's certain people that have sparked that, including Kanye mm-hmm. and, you know, some of the things that have been happening with him. Mm-hmm. But also then the artists that are talking about it, like Kendrick and, you know, so... When these discussions are being had and artists are coming out talking about these things, do you think that it is helpful to a bigger picture? Can it be harmful? Does it depend on how it's being talked about?
Ooh. I think it's always helpful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, I agree too.
I think it's always mm-hmm. helpful. Even if it's, you know, Kanye's been, or Ye, I guess, mm-hmm. he's been really unwell.
Yeah.
And I mm-hmm. think we've all seen it. I don't think that is harmful. I think if anything, it's showing like if someone this big can be struggling this deeply, and unfortunately in such a public way, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it's like anybody can suffer. Anybody can be struggling. Doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account. If you don't have the resources or the people around you to help support you appropriately, it's going to impact you too. So nobody's immune, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Nobody's immune from mental health crises or issues.
Right. And I think with celebrities, they're always being, you know, put in the spotlight for the bad things that happen. Like, where are these things coming from?
Sure.
You know, what is happening?
Yeah. Like Lil Nas X recently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Arrested. Like, that was...
He had a psychotic episode.
Yeah, totally. And...
It happens.
People's responses. I think, you know, you give people permission. Because I thought a lot of people were actually very kind of forgiving in the moment. Mm-hmm. Maybe more so than they used to be when mental health was, like, not ever talked about. Because it was just like, oh, he's high, he's crazy. Like, they would just kind of... You know, kind of throw him out. But now people are like, okay, we need to get him help. Like, how can we get him help? How can we give him more of a safe environment? And I think that's important because it just allows folks to say, okay, he's getting help. Let's see how maybe I can get some help because I can recognize that or family members or friends.
It destigmatizes it, right?
Yeah.
Like the way that we used to talk about Britney Spears when she shaved her head, she's erratic behavior, she's undiagnosed or improperly diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And I think unmedicated during that period of time, the way that the media spoke about her was cruel and absolutely so cruel. And now they look back and even some of the people who interviewed her, they're like, wow, I was on the wrong, in the wrong place for that. And now you know better, so you do better. Right. And I do think that's sort of happening on a societal level. We know better now because we've talked about it and now we've actually seen some of these things happen. So when we see Lil Nas X have a psychotic break, we know, okay, maybe he didn't sleep. Maybe he's just like unmedicated. Sure. Like there's a million things that could happen and it could happen to anybody at any time where all of a sudden something goes wrong in your chemistry and you have an episode. The whole way that we are talking about it is different than 20 years ago.
Oh, for sure.
Well, and if you look at the span of time, like it really wasn't that long ago where we probably should have known better, like when Britney Spears was going through this, like we did know about mental health. It's just nobody was really talking about it. And I don't know that people were, it's the sensationalism of everything was more important. So I think when like artists themselves are saying it, it does have more of a power, I think, than somebody trying to analyze. But I mean, I guess even when the experts come out and talk about it and say, like, listen, this person might be going through something, it does make you think twice about just being kinder. But then also if you're struggling to feel like you can also, oh, maybe this is what's going on with me, or maybe just going to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bit of a difference too, because celebrities used to have a private life. Mm-hmm. There wasn't all the social media. So when something happened, it was like, oh, they overdosed? Like it was just like a shock. And then it was, you're like, oh, they must have really been going through it. Now, you know, and that's the kind of like the gift and curse is like now you can see people really kind of having these episodes in real time because everyone has a camera everywhere.
Sure.
There's social media so that you're really seeing what mental health looks like and people being unwell, what that looks like in real time. But I still don't think that we've gotten to the point that we have enough people to manage it. is the issue, which is why people are going to AI to get, you know, therapy. Because, you know, the gift is people now on a kind of a mass, like, okay, I need to get help. The bad part about it is when you don't have good therapists.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's also a real issue, is that you don't have a therapist that looks like you, or you don't have a therapist that can relate to you.
Yeah.
Or you just have...
Or you don't have the money for a therapist.
You don't have
a
money for the therapist. That that's good. And then you're just getting someone
time.
It's a time.
You're just trying to get through your day and take care of your family and do your job.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's hard to even take that hour out every week or 2 weeks or more, however often you can or would go.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And
the bigger fundamental problem that I see with, especially with artists, is there's two things that I see. And I've been around artists and artists who have been relatively at, you know, especially at ascendant spots of their career. They always have people around them who don't help them.
Yes.
And you hear this story.
Yeah.
It goes back for years and years. And it's like Elvis's story. Everyone, and they're also paying for everybody around them. So they have this whole team of people who don't care and also rely on them. And that is not a way to get healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're going to keep you on the train. And as you were saying, we're seeing people are on camera all the time. People are constantly being forced to create content, not even art, content. Like they have to have so many posts a day on whatever their social media is.
Yeah.
And it is just, it is a grind.
Yeah.
And we as human beings are not, we can't do that. You can't be on all the time.
Yep.
And people give up things like the thing I've become the biggest proponent of lately, besides, you know, drinking less and, you know, avoiding drugs and those kind of things, are sleep better.
Yeah.
If you get, if you're going to sleep,
oh, you can't
even,
true.
You don't even, they don't even get time to sleep enough.
Yeah.
Right.
They're constantly on. And that is like, those are the things that if you have fragility in your mental health, that's going to make it worse.
And I think the people that end up getting some type of help, which, you know, I'm going to, you know, call it out, is like that you get that wealthy crew of people that can feel, what's her name, Gwyneth Paltrow's, you know, it's like, oh, let's go to yoga, let's go to the, and it's like, people can't pay for that either, right? So it's like, we have to figure out a way that holistically on a day-to-day basis, we can check on one another, be like, hey, you good? Like, you got a lot going on, you need me to help you watch the kids, you need to, I think we have to figure out a community response rather than kind of always relying on these like financial, you know, mechanisms to getting healthy and quote unquote wellness.
Well, and that's even tied to what Donnie was saying, is having the yes people around you, especially with artists who are just, you know, their management, their labels, they just want them to be producing. They want them doing as many shows as they can be doing and putting out music. And so, you know what, if they have to do a drug that helps them, they don't care as long as they're... You know, and I think that having the community around you, and then also, you know, I think with addiction, you know, you see the dual diagnosis all the time about mental health being related to addiction.
Of course.
You just want to like throw away addicts.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, we know more now about these things because of the just being able to see everything about everybody's lives right now. But to Nayla's point, like, what are we doing about it now?
Right, because you still have people on there trolling, saying craziness.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just like, I always give it to, like, Denzel. He was like, I don't get on social media. Like, also, he was a time before, but he had a name before social media, so it's a different game for him. But it's like, you know, how do we have a world where, social media may be a thing for folks to get, you know, followers and people to come to their shows and films or whatever. How do we go back to that where they can have their private life and not have to travel so much? Because I think even the traveling got exacerbated because it's like you take a moment to go away and then it's like you're done.
Yep. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, here with Ashley Christina Ricci, Nayla Ansari-Cotillo, and Donnie Kutzbach. You know, Nayla, as you were just talking about social media and breaks, Donnie, are artists even allowed to take breaks anymore? Or because you do see the artists that I think breaks are... can be good for people's careers because, and we will talk about that with Taylor Swift coming up.
I'm ready.
There are cases where people took breaks and that like saved their career. There are people that should take breaks and didn't, and that crashed their career.
Yeah.
So what is that balance and how does that get figured out? I mean, you look at Oasis, that tour, like, would this tour have been as successful if they didn't go away because they were hot messes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I drunk on stage, like speak to this like a little bit better, but I don't think that a lot of people are really in their artist bag because they're so in their content bag that when you're a true artist, like people, there's that moment that like, I actually want you to go away and get time so that we know when you come out with that next album is going to be fire. Awesome. Right. Yeah. Like, I feel like even with like Adele, let's say, it's like everybody was like, oh, Homegirl was not in a breakup. That one album was a mess. You know, like, or you know what I mean? Or when you're just putting album after album after album out, it's like you don't have that time to really develop as an artist. Mm-hmm. And the same with like actors, like some of the best actors we see are not doing a movie, maybe Samuel L. Jackson. But outside of him, you're not seeing these folks doing, you know, back to back to back to back to back to back that are really good in their like craft and their artistry. And I think we have to go back to that because so many people are like, you know, they're influencers and so they're making money doing kind of whatever, but they're not in their artist bag.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing I see a lot. And I know I'm going to go back to being an old head. Almost, having Gen Z in my life. And it's not necessarily my kids, but when I see a lot of younger people and I talk to them and they're more interested in being influencers than they are artists.
Yes.
And I don't know. I don't necessarily see the sustainability of it, but then again, AI is changing everything. And I mean, there's going to be AI influencers. There's not going to need influencers anymore. But there's like a merry-go-round to being an artist and having to constantly be on and being on the stage and doing the thing. In taking a break from parts of it, I think that recharges. The best artists tend to go away for a while and they do work on something. They're not sitting on an island
in the sun.
Doing nothing. They're taking time though and they're reflecting, and that is, to me, that's what feeds the art. I do think that you have to step back for a little while, and I think the best artists figure it out and they know how to do it.
Yeah.
I think also knowing, like, I'm a regional artist, but I take the summers off. Mm-hmm. Like, I try to not book any contracts in the summer unless it's something like really like dream role that I just can't pass up.
Yeah.
But I really try to give myself the summer to be a human, to have hobbies, to work in my garden, to get inspired, travel, cook a new dish or something. Yeah. Like, I think you lose your humanity when all you're doing is creating art. It's kind of like this vicious cycle, because then if you lose touch with what it is to be a human, how can you create good art?
Right.
Yeah. So it's that balance, right? Like, I know Florence and the Machine is my favorite band of all time.
Yeah. And
Florence Welch took time off, like hit it really big, was really heavy into addiction, was fighting eating disorders, and took time off, got sober, got clean, like got on a healthier path, and then came out with some of the best albums I think that they've ever created. Mm-hmm. And it's like she just needed space to be a person.
Yeah.
And then she could reconnect with her art form. And there is a huge shift, because some people were unhappy with the kind of sound difference and some of the lyrics, and it was like a little more grounded and a little more like grown up.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, they were like, yes, this is what we've always wanted. Like, we liked you the way you were before, but now we see you and we love it even more. So I think you've got to take a break sometimes, because you've got to be a human first,
right,
so that you can be an artist second.
Well, I think that is a great way to transition to what we are going to be talking about next, which is Taylor Swift's new album. And there's been a lot of talk. There's different conversations happening this time.
Yep.
And one of those things that has come up is, should she have taken a break? So coming up, we'll dive into Taylor. That's next on Group Chat on BTPM NPR. Thanks for checking out Group Chat, our new pop culture show on WBFO that talks about what you're talking about each week. Music, movies, food, technology, arts, culture, and more. And we want to know what's on your mind. Join the chat by dropping us an email at groupchat@wbfo.org. We welcome your questions, comments, and suggestions on what you want us to talk about. Thanks for joining us again on Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, joined by Ashley Grazina Ricci, actor and host of BTPM's Let's Go, Dr. Naila Ansari Cotillo, professor at Buff State University, choreographer and performing artist, and Donnie Kutzbach, co-owner of Town Ballroom and Fun Time Presents. So we have been talking about theater and music and how we use it to cope, what's behind the artist sometimes in mental health ways, or if they're processing things in their life, and then I guess the trajectory of an artist. Because so you were talking about Florence and the Machine.
Yes.
And Christina. And that was a great example of somebody that took a break to address her mental health, mm-hmm. to address her addiction, mm-hmm. and then came back with music.
Better than ever.
Great, right? But one of the things you had mentioned, which I thought was interesting, was that there were people that were putting her down because the music wasn't like what her other music is. So
sure.
When these discussions are happening around Taylor Swift, again, I don't want to sound like the curmudgeon old hat in the room, but this is not a new conversation.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like this is always a thing. Now, the Swifty fan base obviously is a force. It's huge.
Sure.
We know more about, you know, especially in the age of social media, these things just, we see them. But I don't know how to, this isn't a new argument, wanting an artist to stay in this box that they hold them in.
Sure.
And as a person and an artist, if we're talking about artists as people,
yeah.
Is that possible if you're holding true to your art or what you want to produce?
I don't know.
This is a machine that's also being fed here.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. I mean, we have Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot in there.
I think Taylor Swift is also, I mean this in a nice way, mm-hmm. but I think she's kind of a freakazoid. I think that she is always writing. She's always writing. She's always writing lyrics. She's always writing music. She was interviewed about writing this album, mm-hmm. and she said it actually helped her stay sane during the Eras tour, mm-hmm. because if she was just doing the tour, she would have lost her mind. She needed to be creating something new and giving her mind something to work on that wasn't just doing the same show mm-hmm. for a million times in a row. There's an interview where she talks about how she would like, okay, I've got a few days off, so I'm going to fly here in Europe and meet up with this producer, and we're gonna like try to write a couple more songs for this album. So she was using it as her mental health outlet, sort mm-hmm. of her creative mm-hmm. outlet, because I can imagine that gets draining. You're singing songs that you wrote years ago over and over and over and over and over and over and yeah. over again. How do you find the creative excitement to continue doing that
yeah.
and give everyone an authentic show? That's something that Broadway actors have to find
yeah.
for themselves all the time. A lot of Broadway actors take classes. They try to do little one-offs, little cabarets, mm-hmm. and they try to create other art. So I kind of understand where she's coming from with mm-hmm. this one, but I think she's just one of those people that sort of like, her brain is always writing. She's mm-hmm. always writing lyrics down. She journals. She talks about how she writes in her journal all the time. She always has. So at this point, it's like part of her existence, who she is.
I'm going to say, though, and I'm gonna throw in a lot of devil's advocate things.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call Taylor Swift a great artist because she is.
Mm-hmm.
I think a great artist does have to go do that. You have to go still be creating. You have to find an outlet.
Yeah.
But a great artist knows this might not be my best art, so I am not going to put it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I am by no means a Taylor expert, but what I've heard from this record and what I've heard from the people who I tend to think are the experts have not had a positive reaction to it. So this might be mm-hmm. one of those times like, yes, you need a better editor, or maybe just hang on to this one for yourself. You don't have to share it with the world. The other thing that I find interesting about it, and again, this is from me just kind of parsing social media, reading about it online, it seems like she's actually very much of the time, which I'll give her credit for,
yes.
but we are living, again, in a time, interesting time, I'll call it, that axe grinding, settling scores is a big mm-hmm. thing going on right mm-hmm. now, especially
yeah.
in the leadership of our country. It seems like she chose this record to sort of go out and purposely continue to like fight these fights of people who wronged her in the past between other artists, which I thought was, which is interesting. And again, it's like, she's definitely an artist of the time mm-hmm. that's like reflected in what she's doing. Is it the best move? Is it the best look for her? Maybe, maybe not, but mm-hmm. she is of her time.
I mean, my niece is getting ready to have a Taylor Swift birthday party, so I'll leave that there. Besties. And I think for me, I struggle because it's like, does your journal need to be on my playlist every day? Mm. I don't know. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, I don't know
sure.
that it's, you know, there's certain yeah. things. It's like, at what point does your personal life state needs to stay your personal life just from your perspective? Because in some ways you don't allow other people to share their perspective. Like, you take a story, which is fine. It's what happened to you, but that's like your version of what happened mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. And because of her stardom, it puts other people into this box of like, the assumption is like, it's all your fault like, this is what you did. Like, I don't rock with you. Like, even like someone like, you know, Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend, whatever. I was trying to follow the, you know, the messiness of that. She doesn't have a platform the same way that Taylor Swift has to even defend herself on that. So in some ways, it's like, it feels like this little
punching
weird
down.
It's like this like defamation a little bit of people, whether you want to or not. Like, again, I don't know that your journal needs to be our playlist for every single album that you have, every song that you have, because you didn't like your relationship. Or, and I also don't want to necessarily know about all your relationships. I get it, but like, I don't care, because they all lasted 2 seconds. Well, so, and you got to be a problem at some point. Where's your, I need that album. I need the I'm the Problem album. That's what I need, because you can't go through that many relationships that fall apart. Granted, that's the world that she's in. So I give it to her on that end, that is difficult to be a celebrity in any kind of relationship. But like, I want that album. If you're going to do another
That sort
album.
Of was the tortured poets department, I think, was sort of her talking about what's wrong with her. That's why people liked it so much, because she was sad, Taylor. But this is also like, Lover was my favorite Taylor Swift album. Okay. It's pop. It's bubblegum. It is what it is. It's happy. It's happy. I'm a happy person in general. I like to listen to happy music. I liked Lover. Then she released a series of albums that were so depressing. I was like, I can't even listen to this. And people were like, it's art. It's beautiful. And I was like, but that's not what I, that's not the version of Taylor Swift that I was like, yes, I listened to it. You can say, oh, this is beautiful. This is so well written. This is, I really like these lyrics. They're very smart. They're very thought out. It's poetically very meaningful, but I was just like, man, all these songs sound the same. And then she released Tortured Poets Department, and it was kind of like a little bit different in tone, but it was a little bit more introspective, where she's talking more about herself. She talks about Maddie Healy.
See, I love me.
He's a weirdo. So like, go for it. That was wild.
I love me the dark stuff.
And she didn't talk about Joe Alwyn at all in that album. It's all about her, and then that, like, this little fling that she had with with Maddie Healy.
Because Maddie Healy is that guy that we, okay, I mean, I don't want to say we, I'll speak for myself.
Get into it, Bentley, go ahead.
Is that guy that you know that you were just drawn to because they were creative and blah, blah, blah.
He left his typewriter at her house. Like, we've all dated that guy before. Well, so maybe not,
I feel like
Bentley and I have dated that guy before.
Oh, child, left the typewriter.
But I mean, that's like, hipster.
Wrap it up.
I just, so I think like, even though it was short-lived, I think it was like, that was the one I grabbed onto.
Yeah.
But I think to your point, you know, what you're hearing is that she always kind of had these relatable lyrics, but they were very, I guess they felt very like, just like general. But
yeah,
I think that was
basic.
The appeal was, you know, there was something said that not that long ago that her brilliance in marketing was that she wrote songs that were very accessible, that like you could sing in the car with your kids. Like there was nothing ever controversial about her.
Until Reputation, probably.
And then even then, is that how controversial can Taylor Swift get? Like, was that really controversial in the grand? It might have been controversial for her. But now this is like, people are just going wild with it because, okay, so this is kind of rough for her, but is it because of that, you know, say what you will, like, you know, her marketing team and her business team, they're genius, but they've also, that's been connected to, I think her content has been driving that. So how authentic is this really who she is? Now that she's happy, is she gonna write bad music?
Well, see, but I like it. Like, let the girl be happy. Let her write some bops. Let me just have my bops.
Well, and I think maybe, and that's her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, be happy without your journal entries. Because what I want to know, if we're going to do journal entries, I want to know how Travis Kelce went from a fade to a mullet. That's the album I want. Teach the Girl. That's the album that I want from
that's
Taylor.
One of the best. That's been like one of the best memes of the last year. Yeah. The side by side.
That's the album I want from Taylor.
Obviously, we have a very passionate fan base. So is there this expectation to be what the fans want, or do we want the real artist? And do we get to have a say as fans on what a person creates?
I don't think we do. I think as fans, we have a choice as to what we consume. And that's why I don't pre-order all the, I don't, I like to listen to her music because I, sometimes she writes something that I think is very like meaningful. She's also partnered with Florence and the Machine on her last album, and that was awesome.
Not this new one.
Not this new one, the last one.
Yeah, I liked when she did the alternate, like when she did like when she was doing
Evermore
stuff with the National
and Cardigan and yeah. That was when I was like, I'm bored out of my mind. But like that's she was creating art, and I think that's great. It wasn't art that I particularly enjoyed from her work, but that's because when I'm looking at Taylor Swift, that's not what I want from her. Yeah. But if she just stops creating pop music, I may not listen to her anymore, and that's okay. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I don't think I have any control over what she creates artistically. Mm-hmm. She's going to do what she's going to do. She doesn't care about my opinion in Buffalo, New York. You know, like she's like going to create, she's got so many billions of dollars anyway. She's going to create what she wants to create. But one thing that I think is interesting is that people have been talking about her diss tracks. And I think especially there's a track on this album that's kind of about Charlie XCX.
Maybe.
One thing that I like about it is we talk about like beefs between like hip hop stars and rappers and stuff. It's that. It's just pop. And it's like Taylor Swift. It's like bubblegum.
Doesn't it seem calculated though?
Yeah,
It seems very inauthentic to me.
Yeah.
And I will say that, I'm not an expert on all this, but I know that the same thing happened with Charlie XCX and Lorde. And then Lorde came out and they did the Lorde remix of it, which was sort of like, it seemed a little bit more.
Peace offering?
Yeah, maybe. It seemed a little more organic in a way. And who knows, maybe none of this. This is all created. This is all
could be.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Yeah. It's very much being controlled from somewhere else. Yeah. But yeah, I just think that at this point, Taylor Swift has gotten to be a little bit calculated, and maybe she just jumped on the merry-go-round a little bit quicker than she could have on this one.
Yeah.
But I'm not buying the records, not for me. So I just like to sit back and watch and occasionally throw my 2 cents.
Yeah. Because we need like a Rihanna. Like we need a Rihanna read on a tweet. Like that is, if we're going to do pop world tweets, like a little Rihanna shade is where it needs to be at. Like call it out where you need to call it out. Because in some ways, the album can feel kind of like you're hiding behind something. It's like, are you acting like that in person? You know, like, do you give that same energy? Like, I want to see them in person now that they had the little diss track. Mm-hmm. Like, what's that look like?
Well, and it's also a little ironic because I feel like she has also made statements how you don't do this. You don't put down other women.
Sure.
So now it's like, okay, which part is okay? Like, is this just... She always claimed to take the high road. So
I think until Reputation, that's when things changed. That's when she started releasing diss tracks back to people who were, because Charlie XCX has been very vocal and making fun.
What's the tea on this? Because I don't know.
See, that's the thing. So like she has been very vocal, like making fun of Taylor. Like
boring Barbie.
Public. Yeah. Boring Barbie, calling her names.
Barbie is a...
Boring Barbie is what she said. Okay. Because Barbie, I would be like, thank you.
Right.
Like this Barbie has billions, you know, like I would not be upset by that. But the diss track that she wrote, quote unquote, diss track is called Romantic. And so the whole thing is like, that's so like, I'm honestly not even offended that you would call me Boring Barbie. Like, that's just romantic.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think there's this like standard that she has set, and how does she walk that line between like calling people back out? But that's sort of, she's messy. She's Taylor Swift has said she's messy.
Well, that's the
I'm
thing.
Here
it's
for
just
it.
Like, why?
Why not?
I think people are. I think people are thrown off by that. I think because
she's so bubblegum. Yeah. For me, I think Donnie and I just can't take it seriously because it's just like, especially when you see like rap memes of people about to die.
Yes.
In an era when
Kendrick Lamar and.
Yes.
Yeah. It's hard to take even that, and that's still art.
Yeah.
It got serious, and all that, but it's still just art. And I guess it's
like we're
it's
still
a
like
different...
Nas, Ether, Jay-Z,
I'm still back on East Coast, West Coast. So
exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
But I think maybe that is the new way. You know, that's the way that
the pop
kids
want to be able to have beef culture too.
Right?
So I guess that's what I'm having.
Maybe it's not as dangerous as our beef culture, y'all.
It's like candy coated beef.
It is.
That sounds good.
I was like, is that really a diss track? I'm like, is that beef. It was like a line. And like, I think that there's just so many people that are writing about these things that are influencers that are, you know, that are just trying to grab that thought or idea that is going to get them noticed. So they're going to pull out the smallest things in a song.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to make the small things into big things.
Yeah.
When it could have been she was just having a bad day and something really made her angry about her and that ended up in the song.
Yeah.
But it's like when you actually listen to these songs, it's like, it's not that big of a deal.
Right. Yeah. Kendrick hurt my feelings. Yeah. That wasn't even Drake. Like, I was like, ooh, man.
That was like,
that was great.
Okay, yeah.
That, loved every second of it.
I felt that. Like, I wanted to dig into it even more. I was like,
that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping we get some like crazy Charlie XCX, like, bop in the winter that is like this angry pop song at Taylor Swift, and then they can just keep battling and I'll just keep gobbling up all of their pop music and dancing it out at the club. You know what I mean? That's what I'm hoping for.
I'm already bored by that. So like, I love, like, listen, same. I want the like upbeat. I just think this is like kind of weak. Like this,
it just seems manufactured.
I have a video of someone who raps her lyrics like they've turned it into a hip hop song. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting.
It's with Swifties.
That's my plan, my evil plan. No, Donnie's already a lost cause. Donnie's gone.
We're gonna be Taylor TikTok detectives. No, I got this one for you.
Now I know what this song means.
Yeah, next time I see you all, I'm gonna have friendship bracelets for you. They might say Taylor haters, but like I'll get you friendship bracelets.
Can I have a sad Taylor bracelet? Because I
sure you just like sad Taylor. That's okay.
I don't know what I like. Picture posters of her like on the Taylor Swift album, like for her birthday party, ready to go. T-shirts.
But what a good, I think what a good role model though for like a young girl.
Yeah, she loves
see
Taylor
that,
Swift.
Like,
which is why I keep my comments to myself.
Yeah.
Like,
and
okay,
all of you listeners at home, don't tell Nayla's niece.
Nayla, what's going on for you this weekend? I know you have the Sunday performance.
Yes, going to New York City at the Lincoln Center, passing the crown. So anyone in New York City, Lincoln Center, super dope. MC Light, Rhapsody.
I want to go so bad.
All women bands.
Yeah.
String section.
Yeah.
Killing it. B-girls, everything.
Yeah, we need, and we're going to talk to Donnie about
some things
after off mic. no pressure. Christina, how about you?
I'll be in rehearsals all weekend. I'll be in rehearsals for String at the Cavanocchi Theater. We open the first weekend in November, so coming soon.
Yeah. Now people need to be reminded that the theater season continues to spring, right? Like the May, because even though
it won't stop until May or June, depending on the theater. But there's always theater to be seen. Whether it's at 710 or the Smith Theater, or there's a million different
great
places in Western New York. Really just a lot of great work happening.
I think it gets a lot of attention in September because of the curtain up.
But it's
like
all
there's,
year.
And especially when you get into the holidays and, you know, so not a lack of things to do. Do people take a break from theater in the summer because of all the shows you put on, Donnie, in the summer outside?
That'd be fun.
No, but we need Donnie because theater gets real quiet outside of Shakespeare in the Park. So we need something to keep us going.
Yeah. I don't seem to ever get a break. We go outside in the summer, but we're, you know, inside all winter. Now we're getting back into a lot of inside shows. And
And your plans for this weekend are?
By Monday, I have to get to Atlanta. My daughter is walking in a fashion show at 500 Seneca.
Oh,
it's a house of resold wings. So Isabella Cutsback, Izzy Blue Cutsback is in that one.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, I got to get to Atlanta. I've got a bunch of shows this weekend. But in between, I may try to go see a certain film that I've seen twice already. It's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. That's all I'm going to say. I might go see it a third time.
What is it?
One Battle After Another.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's so good. Thinking about finding a good movie.
That's been on my brain nonstop, and I saw it the day it came out, and then I saw it like 3 days later, and I'm like, I got to go see it again.
Yeah,
so
it's
a good piece of art. And you're talking about mental health and the times right now, and it's it's a masterpiece.
I love Paul Thomas Anderson. So. Yeah. That wraps up today's episode of Group Chat for now. If you want to continue the conversation, make sure you follow us on Instagram at BTPMNPR. Also check us out on the video podcast on Buffalo Toronto Public Media's YouTube channel. I'd like to thank my guests, Ashley Christina Ricci, Naila Ansari-Catillo, and Donnie Kutzbach, and the Group Chat team. Producer Haley Hellenbrook, audio engineer and editor Rich Ells, technical director Bailey Kreitzoff, social media assistant Katie Daugherty, production intern Samantha Heppel and Justin Schweitzberg, director of audio strategy SJ Velasquez, director of content Pat Kelly, and executive producer Lynn Bader. I'm your host, Bentley. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.